You would open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis this morning. The book of Genesis. We'll be spending most of our time here. Good to be with you this morning. I want to consider a man named Jacob that we read about this morning. And Jacob, he had his ups and downs, but he was a man who was trying to lead his family in the right way. His name, Jacob, meant heel grabber and supplanter. And eventually he would be known as Israel, which means he who strives with God and prevails. And as we read this morning, Genesis chapter 28, as Bob read for us, this is the occasion where, you know, Jacob makes some promises. But he had flaws and he did make his mistakes. Certainly, we know about his relationship with his son Joseph and how he played favorites in that situation. But there is a lot about his character that we can learn about. And I want to look at Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 4. Because I think these verses here really tell us something about the character of Jacob and some things that we can learn. Verse 1 of Genesis chapter 35, God said to Jacob, "Arise, go to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and all those who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourself and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods they had, and the rings which were in their ears, Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree that was near Shechem. So we see here that Jacob is to return to Bethel, and Bethel is the place that we read about this morning in chapter 28, where God appeared to, or the angel appeared to Jacob. And here he returns to Bethel, and at this time there was danger from the Canaanites, and he was doing this to fulfill that vow that he made to God. But there were some things that he needed to do first. There were some things in his family that needed to be fixed. And he told his household to remove the foreign gods. Isn't that interesting that this is the situation in his family? We don't have any indication that Jacob had worshipped any foreign gods or any idol gods, yet there were idols in his home. Where did they come from? How did they get there? Most likely, you know, I think they probably came from his wife, Rachel. Genesis chapter 31 and verse 19 gives us a little glimpse into this. Let's start in verse 17 of Genesis 31. "So Jacob arose and set his sons and wives on camels. He drove away all his livestock, all his property that he had gained, the livestock in his possession that he had acquired in Padan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods." So we see that in the household of Laban, Rachel's father, that there were these, quote, household gods that she had taken. And so this is probably where these things have come from, that Jacob is not worshiping these, but they were in their household. And Jacob realized that when his family here is in this situation, that he needs to get rid of these. And maybe he had turned a blind eye to this all of this time, but there's a time of change that had come. His household's in turmoil. These idols need to be removed. And the question for us is, if we look at this, what's the question? Well, do we have idols in our homes that need to be removed? Are there things in our lives that are hindering our families from faithfully worshiping God and keeping the commitment that we should be making to God. So let's see what we can learn from Jacob. First thing that we can learn is, of course, he's removing the idols and he is taking responsibility. How often is it these days that a father actually takes responsibility for something that goes on in the home? Jacob took the responsibility here with respect to fixing this and guiding them in the right way. Jacob needs to set a good example for his family. And Jacob has done some of that in the past. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 33 and verse 20. When Jacob is meeting his brother Esau, his family is with him in this case. And in verse 20 of chapter 33, it says, "There he erected an altar and called it El Helak Israel." And so here he is worshiping God. His family is seeing this. He also is one that communicates with his family to tell them what God has revealed to him. If you look back at Genesis chapter 31, Genesis chapter 31, as Jacob is fleeing in this case from Laban, Genesis chapter 31, verse 3, "Then the Lord said to Jacob, 'Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you.' So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was, and said to them, 'I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times, but God does not permit him to harm me. If he said, 'The spotted shall be your wages,' then all the flock shall be spotted. If he said, 'The stripes shall be called your wages,' then all the flock bore stripes. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me." And so you see in this case, as Jacob is expressing to Rachel and Leah what has been going on, he keeps saying that God is in charge, God knows what's going on, and God is protecting me. And so he has communicated that to his family in the past. Yet the fact that he has communicated what God is doing with him, these idols have still crept in to his household somehow. And other things had crept into his family as well. If you read, we won't take the time to read Genesis chapter 34, but you know, two of his sons, Simeon and Levi, had blood-stained hands because of what had happened with their sister. So there was impurity in the house. And so this occasion that we see in Genesis chapter 35 was years past what Bob read for us this morning in chapter 28, where he experienced the presence of God in Bethel. And so returning to here meant that Jacob is in need of a spiritual revival. And Jacob tells his family, "You've got to get rid of all this stuff. You've got to remove these idols and purify yourselves and change your garments." And garments were often something that represented, you know, purity or character. So Jacob's house needed these changes, and it was Jacob's responsibility to get the family ready to go to Bethel. And so that's the first point that we want to recognize, is that Jacob took responsibility. And Jacob also took immediate and drastic measures to fix his family's problem. Jacob really should have acted immediately when he first learned of the idols. I don't know how long he knew these idols were present, but he certainly knew in this case, hey, these are here, and this is a situation where we need to get rid of them. But, you know, love for a person is an interesting thing. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he worked 14 years to be with her. And maybe that love that he had for her got in the way of him telling her, "Hey, you know those things you took from your dad? We don't need to have those around here." And for some reason, he had allowed that to pass. And so sometimes the love that somebody has for someone else causes them to compromise. It causes them to do things that they ought not. So how many times have we seen that the husband has led the wife away, or the wife has led the husband away, or caused them to compromise things in their life? Or the young man or young woman who starts to date somebody that's not a Christian, that doesn't have a love for God, that does not have a heart for spiritual matters at all, that person starts to be led away because of that love that they have for that person. It leads them away from God. So whatever the case was, and the reason that Jacob had allowed these things to go on up to this point, he realizes now it's got to stop. It's got to stop, and immediate action is necessary. And so Jacob here is taking leadership and moving quickly. And when that happens, then blessings will certainly come to him because he's doing what is the will of God. And God was with them as they journeyed to Bethel. Let's look at Genesis 35, verses 5 through 7. And as they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities that were around them, so that they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. And so I kind of read this and think about a force field. That they're traveling, and whatever they do, you know, nobody can harm them. They've got this wall of protection about them. Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan. He and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried under an oak below Bethel. So he called its name Allen-Bakut. And so here we see that God is with them as they journeyed to Bethel. And there would be more challenges along the way. If you look in verse 16, it says, Then they journeyed from Bethel when they were still some distance from Ephrath. Rachel went into labor, and she had hard labor. And so that's the situation that they're encountering on this journey. Verse 22 says, while Israel lived in that land, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard of it. So there are things here where we see that Jacob has some good days, but we also see that there are some challenges along the way with his wife and with his family. And Jacob is one, when he takes leadership and he does what it is that God would have him to do, God protects him and a lot of blessings do come his way. He takes ownership of his home. He takes responsibility for what's going on. He, even though he was kind of late doing that, he established a moral standard that needs to be followed, and he removed those idols from the household. So he did what it is that he needed to do to take control of the situation. So, what's the example for us? What is the lesson for us? I think it's pretty obvious that as men we have a responsibility. And, you know, whether you're a man or a woman, we all have responsibilities to God and to lead our households in the right way. But men especially, we're talking to this morning. Do we possess these qualities that Jacob had? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Here, Paul is giving Timothy instructions for the church on how things are to be done. And what Timothy is told is that the primary responsibility, the first line of defense when it comes to providing for one another, is that people should provide for their own household. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Eileen was home, and she was telling me, you know, she's a cashier at Winn-Dixie now, and she tries to call people by name, you know, if their name is on their ID. And people present their government card for their government benefits, and she says, well, thank you for coming by, Mr. Jamerson. Well, oh, no, I'm not Mr. Jamerson. This isn't my card. I got this card from somebody else. And she says that most of the time that people that have the government card for the benefits, it's not that person.
that they have gotten it from somebody else or they paid somebody else to use it, and the fraud that just goes on, and that would drive you crazy. And I think about this passage that tells us that we are worse than an unbeliever if we do not provide for our own. There are lots of people that have the ability to make a living, that have the ability to work, that refuse to do that because they know how to cheat the system. This is not the quality of a leader. This is not the quality that we see in Jacob. This is not the quality that Paul is trying to get across to Timothy. We need to provide for ourselves. We need to provide for our households. And we need to work and not rely on others to provide for us when we can do those things ourselves. I understand that there are people in a situation that need those benefits. But, you know, Eileen's example shows that there's probably a great majority of people that are receiving these things that don't really need it. That they are cheating the system and everybody suffers because of that. And it certainly, you know, hurts a lot of people. Also, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul says, "If a man won't work, neither should he eat." So there are a lot of examples of men in the Scriptures that are good providers. And there are also many who did not provide the leadership that they should have. I mean, it starts in the beginning. When you see Adam and Eve as they're tempted, and Eve is tempted by the serpent, and she gives the fruit to Adam and says, "You know, you need to eat this," he could have stopped it. I mean, maybe he didn't have to do what she said. And he blames her when God confronts them. "Well, the woman that you gave to be with me, she's the one that gave that to me, and I ate." And we see Achan, who caused the Israelites to lose a battle with Ai, because Achan had taken of the accursed things. He had hidden those things in his tent. And terrible example of what a father should be. Terrible example of what should be done. He should have stopped that. Ananias and Sapphira also made bad choices. And so there are many, many examples of men in the Scripture who failed to properly lead their wives or lead their families, lead their children, and went into the wrong direction. We have a great deal of work in our families to protect our homes from anything that can spiritually hurt them. And our homes are under attack by the world and by the devil. And so, like Jacob, we need to follow through on the commitment to serve the Lord. Jacob hadn't been following through on that commitment for a while. But here he is woken up, and he is doing that. We need to follow through on the commitment to serve God by leading our families in the right way. We need to know what it really means to be a spiritual leader. And it's not based on your wealth. It's not based on your wardrobe. It's not based on your worldly knowledge. It's about being responsible. Being responsible for leading your family and providing for them. Being a man is not about how to make a baby, but it's rather how to lead that baby one day to serve God. So we all have our individual relationships with God, but as parents, as men, as leaders in our homes, we need to create an environment that will help the rest of the family grow with God. So the question is there anything in our home that needs to be removed? I think we all understand that we need to provide and we need to protect our homes. We know that God wants us to serve Him and serve Him faithfully. And we know that we need to be holy. Those are all individual responsibilities that we have. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15.
1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That's a very high standard for us. And if we ever think that we've made it, if we ever think that we have gotten to a place that we can ease up because we've gotten to where it is that we need to be, you need to go back and review this. Realize that we're to be holy as God is holy. We need to be holy as Christ, the one who is our example, is holy. So, tall order. So how is it that we do it? Well, we can do what Jacob did, and we can remove and bury and destroy anything that it is that gets in the way of our service to God. Now, are we strong enough to do that? Whatever it is, whether it's some friendships that need to go, some behavior, some time that gets so used up with things that are not very productive. If we have hobbies, if we have things that are taking up all of our time and keeping us from having the time to do positive things with our family, we need to get rid of those things. We need to take drastic steps. And taking drastic steps is not anything that is foreign to the Scriptures. The Scriptures over and over teach us that family relationships should not get in the way of our service to God. And anything that would keep us from heaven is something that would need to be put away. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, "If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body goes into hell." That would be considered a drastic step. So what do you need to remove from your home? Apathy? Indifference toward God's Word? How does that show up? Well, never concentrating on God's Word would be one way that indifference shows up. Indifference shows up when we let anything else in the world get in the way of our service to God. You know, when I was working in Panama City years ago, there was a girl who called in sick a lot. It always seemed to be on a Friday or Monday. Isn't it funny how she would always be sick on a Friday or a Monday? And she started having a reputation for that. And one day, she called in sick, and I asked her how she was, and she said, "Well, I just had this horrible stomach virus," and she was really telling me more than what I wanted to know. And then later on that day, when everybody was talking about going to lunch, she recommended Taco Bell. Oh, she said, "Oh, I went to Taco Bell Friday and I got this bean burrito or something." And I said, "Oh yeah, that was the day you were sick." Because she had been sick Friday with the stomach virus. That's where I always go to clear up my stomach viruses, is I go to Taco Bell. So, she kind of got caught there in a little bit of a lie. But, this is the kind of thing that a lot of people see. Parents will tell their kids when the phone rings, "Well, tell them I'm not home." Because who is it? "Well, I don't want to talk to them. Tell them I'm not home." And then they wonder why their kids lie to them. Well, you set up an example. If you have lying and deceitfulness in your home, and it's coming from you, you need to put that away. Don't expect your kids to do something different than what you're doing. And sometimes we're grateful that somehow they do better than us. Because sometimes we show a pretty poor example. Examine your house to see what it is that needs to be removed. Is it that you have a love for money and everything that you do, rotates around that? Are you filled with pride? You're filled with selfishness and bitterness, lack of forgiveness? Kids see those things and others see those things. And it doesn't matter if you have a family or not.
Those are things that need to be put away. They need to be buried forever, just like Jacob took those idols and they buried them. Bury all the things that get in the way of your proper service to God. That is a quality of leadership, and not letting those things go on and on. Because we open the door to Satan in our lives and in our homes. Some people may have clothes that need to be destroyed. And my dad always joked when he saw somebody that didn't have enough clothes on, well, they got that at a half-off sale. Because it looked like they got half of the garment. Well, those things ought to be put away. Or give it to somebody that it would actually be their size. It's about half your height or something. There are many things in many homes that need to be destroyed. Isn't it interesting sometimes when you go into the home of a Christian and you see the shelf of movies, of DVDs on the shelf, and if you glance and see what's on there, you think, rated R, rated R, rated R, rated R, rated R, rated R. You know, well, that shows you what kind of entertainment they watch. At our house, it's Disney, 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 Disney. Are there DVDs that need to be broken? Are there things that need to be destroyed? Are there attitudes that need to be corrected? Are there commitments that need to be cut from our schedules? Are there computers that need to be thrown away? Facebook accounts that need to be deleted so that we can have time to worship God? If there are idols that are found, will we remove them? What is it with you? What is it that gets in the way of your service to God? What is it that's most important to you? You can look at a person's home and tell what's important to them. It may be that house is full of their team colors. You can look at the shelf of DVDs and see what's important. You can look at a person's calendar on their phone and see what's important to them. You can look at their internet history and you can see what's important to them. If there are idols that are found, will you be like Jacob? Take them and bury them. And close the door to Satan in your life and in your home. Jacob is kind of a mixed bag when you look at his wife. But this is one example where we can really see that he made the right decision. So we have a great deal of work to protect ourselves and our homes from anything that may spiritually hurt us. So ask yourselves the question, what will you do? Will you give your family a chance to be successful by making the right decisions? And hopefully when we arrive in heaven, we won't be alone. We'll have other loved ones with us. We'll be there together for eternity. But it won't happen if we don't make the right decisions. Make it a lot more difficult to have our families with us in heaven if we're not making the right decisions now about what happens in our lives, what happens in our homes, and the kind of examples that we are to each other. Hope this will be useful to you and gives you some things to think about. Are you being the spiritual leader that you should be in the home or the workplace or wherever it may be? Be the spiritual leader that you ought to be and be willing to take the drastic steps necessary to be the kind of Christian that God would have you to be. If we can help you in any way to do that this morning, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.